All right, buddies. Welcome back. It's hour three of the Nation. So much sports coming up. A little hockey talk coming up at 4:40. Wolchuk will get you a quick puck in there. Time now for a sports hodgepodge. Here's the Chief.
Got a couple of good things here. We start with some Super Bowl goodies, and you're not going to get a Super Bowl take hotter than the one we'll play for you here in just a moment. I don't know if it's the dumbest take I've ever heard, or if I'm jealous that I didn't get to the take quicker than this guy. This is all-time stuff here, and it's what makes this particular gentleman one of the great ones. But we start with some awesome G-Bag Nation Radio Row news, as it looks like we have been granted the opportunity to welcome in the best to ever do it.
Uh-oh.
The greatest of all time.
Uh-oh.
The man who is on the ceiling of Wolchuk's bedroom, right up above the master bed.
No, dude.
Not too far from the Jergens.
Don't lie to me.
Mr. Deuce Deuce, the leading rusher in NFL history.
What?
Emmitt Smith will be sitting down with the G-Bag Nation.
He's giving
in New Orleans.
Can't see the Heisman? I was so jealous.
Did you really say that?
Dude, we were chasing after him last year just to try and get a handshake.
I got the fist bump, remember? I didn't wash my hand the rest of the week.
You did. My gosh. Guys, I don't think I'll probably ever have been more nervous for an interview. This is going to be...
This is all time. This is a Wolchuk bucket list moment.
Oh, goodness.
You've done it on the phone before. You've seen him at a distance.
Yeah.
You've watched him run around at training camps throughout your childhood at Cowboys Stadium. But now you're going to get the opportunity to sit right next to him. You're going to feel the aura. You're going to get to smell him. All-time cologne that he wears. We're going to have to get to the bottom of that. Smells incredible. And he's probably going to hand you... We might be able to take a shot of his tequila with him.
We can take a shot with him?
The Herradura stuff, right? That's his deal.
Okay.
I know he brought the complimentary bottle to the KNC Masterpiece multiple times on Radio Row. So I think that's in store. Maybe we take a shot with Emmitt Smith.
Let's go!
This is very exciting.
Dude, if this doesn't happen, I'm going to be heartbroken. We need to... Oh.
It won't, because Bobby will say something and piss somebody off, and they'll take the guest away from us.
He's going to be coming spitting straight fire. Remember last year, Super Bowl, he was ticked off.
He was on fire.
Imagine how ticked he's going to be. Him and I are going to be just MFing the Cowboys together.
You know what could be incredible, though, and even more heartbreaking, though, is if you have that bad celebrity moment that's been known to happen. Can you imagine that, Wolchuk?
That's been a fear of mine.
Could that break your fanmanship in any way,
you think? They say don't meet your heroes.
Yeah. You're about to.
It could.
They had a lot of penalties.
It could. I'm going to pretend that doesn't happen.
Like, what if you're trying to get him fired up to dunk on Jerry, and he feels like he needs to defend Jerry, and now you've
and then we get in a fight?
Yeah. Oh, that would be great.
Oh, that would not be great. It might be great, but that would not be great. I hope we just get a hug afterwards.
Yeah, I'm hoping for a good, wholesome, you know, bro hug type of moment.
Yeah.
You know, seems like he respects the media a lot more these days. You know, he doesn't think everybody's out to get him as much as he might have there in the early days post his playing career. Seems like becoming an older gentleman has, you know, calmed him down a little bit in that regard.
So, like, I shouldn't wear my Emmitt Smith jersey?
I think
he'll put his John Hancock
absolutely
on.
Do that.
Make a team about
him.
Yeah, absolutely wear it.
Hand him a Sharpie. He'll see the jersey.
Oh, I don't know if you want to do that.
He'll slap that thing.
Maybe hand him a Sharpie and a $100 bill.
Yeah, that's true.
He'll ask you what it's for.
Maybe a little Tensky.
I don't want to go full fanboy. I mean, CA kind of sold me out when we interviewed him on the phone. It's like, oh, he's your biggest fan. And it's like, oh, let him ask this question. Come on, let him ask this question.
Wear your jersey, man. Go for it.
Maybe
this is going to be big, dude. I'm excited.
I'm really excited. You're still a hat.
I'm personally excited.
I'm excited yet extremely nervous.
Yeah.
I will admit, I am extremely nervous thinking about.
Should we
this.
Give him the first question, Don?
No,
absolutely.
It'd be one of those butterflies.
Give him all of them.
Yeah, I just lay out.
Make this an exclusive Wooly Bully and Emmitt Smith
one on one
the row.
Might get starstruck, boys.
Like me and Jim McMahon talking. Nobody else talked. We just
hope it's like that Chris Farley SNL bit. Remember that 200-yard game you had, man? That was awesome.
Remember that time in Minnesota?
Let's talk about that day when you
broke your hand, when you stiff-armed a guy, and you broke your hand, but you kept playing.
What about the shoulder?
Yeah.
The shoulder game?
Yeah. Separated shoulder against the Giants.
I love it, dude. This is going to be awesome.
I kept telling myself, no pain. No pain.
Another thing that we're going to have to...
I felt all the pain.
This is going to be a food review. Might have to invoke Broadus on this one as well. Did you guys see what Popeyes is doing?
No.
Uh-oh.
But the Popeyes in Louisiana, I have been told, is better.
Yes, I am looking forward to that experience.
Let's go.
But also, they're on a collision course with Don Julio.
Yep.
A little collab. Collab of the century is what we're calling it. Championship lineup. That's right.
Tequila fries?
You heard it. Popeyes and Don Julio collab on new menu items.
I'm concerned because there's nothing wrong.
Mr. Nasty's thoughts on that.
For the Super Bowl. Yeah, they're going
to
have...
For what? What are they doing? They need to stop.
Okay, but I don't know. This sounds pretty dang good.
They need to stop.
Bread pudding.
I feel insulted.
One of the entrees is reposado-flavored Louisiana garlic chicken wings with a specialty sauce.
Tequila chicken wing.
This is Food Review. Well, Chuck, really? we are on the fast track, dude. We might have to, as soon as we touch in New Orleans, that might need to be the first stop.
I've never heard of cooking with tequila. That's a new one.
Reposado-flavored concha roll chicken sando.
Okay. Mm.
Spicy strawberry hibiscus-flavored lemonade mocktail.
Well, Shirley Temple.
I mean, I think that's going to be a well-rounded meal. The sandwich, the wings, and the drink, Don Julio, Popeyes, championship lineup.
I would just eat the
wings.
In
New Orleans for the Super Bowl.
Sounds like a good snack to me.
I mean, I'm fired up. I might end up, who knows? We need to start the mission there because who knows how many times we're going to want to circle back.
Well,
this is limited, and this is right there in the heart of the Popeyes craze, dude. This is exactly where you want it, the most authentic version. And this is sort of a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I get to do that with Wolchuk. I'm fired up.
I'm excited for this.
This is like my Emmitt Smith.
I know, this Popeyes. Now, the other venture we're going to have to make, whether this is a squad or this is just us, but
Rick's Cabaret.
Fried chicken. No. I'm never going back there. And Dre, if you're listening, you know why. You know why, okay? But Willie Mae's Scotch House, best fried chicken I've ever had. If we want to just go ahead and let's do some chicken wars. We got
to
add
that sounds
Mason
good because if I go to Popeyes, I'm getting a tackle box.
That's
I don't
what
care
I'm saying. Dawson, you get him.
Maybe you can get a Don Julio tackle
that's
box.
That's what I'm saying. Just get the tackle box in the bottle and just drink it. Yeah.
I mean,
that's
New Orleans is the kind of town they might serve you booze at a Popeyes. You know, they might have a full bar set up there.
At least
for
walk
us.
Out with it into the street. Mm. Walk out with a glass. You know,
just spike your own place. Hibiscus mocktail with the real stuff.
Let you roll.
This is going to be awesome. Looking forward to it in a big way. Maybe we'll see Jameis there. You never know.
Oh, that might be because he's doing his food reviews too.
You never know.
Maybe he starts there.
Okay, I think this is, I mean, nobody's going to be out, going to be able to outdo this Super Bowl take here. This is all time. And we're early. Like you were, I was expecting maybe some of the big guns to pop out with their takes on the road next week. But here we are early in the proceedings. We head to the herd.
Uh-oh.
With Colin Cowherd. Now, this is his sidekick, McIntyre's, talking about the tush push and how he doesn't think the Chiefs are going to be able to stop it. And he's wrong, of course.
He's wrong because it's top four of the last six quarterbacks.
Colin takes this to the next level, a place that no other person with a microphone could ever even imagine.
This is for touchdowns. This is for two-point conversions. What's wrong with it? It feels automatic. When the Eagles run it in the Super Bowl, Chiefs ain't going to be able to stop it. Just because they stop Buffaloes, they're not going to be able to stop this one.
They may not get into the red zone.
The Eagles might not get into the red zone.
All right.
Seriously?
I think Kansas City's defense, we now have to be honest. Lockdown corner, dominant defensive line, multiple edge defenders, hyper-athletic linebackers. I don't think people are giving Kansas City's defense the credit.
Really?
Oh, I think it's really good, and it's really good in big games.
Good enough to potentially keep the Eagles out of the red zone entirely throughout the full four quarters of the Super Bowl.
Are we going to see the shutout? The first shutout in the Super Bowl?
The biggest game of the year. Watch out, Roger Goodell. Watch out, viewers at home. If you just bought a ticket, 6K in the nosebleed seats, you might not see the Eagles reach the red zone.
He's not a very good debater. I think his sidekick guy has gotten too smart for him now. He's got to go back to a Hopland or something. You know, because once you start going tit for tat with Colin, you can hear the insecurity in his voice. He was leaking confidence all over that soundbite, Chief, as you would say. Couldn't you?
Yes.
You could hear. He's like, they might not even get into the red zone.
They might not even.
The dude's like, really?
He just thought McIntyre was going to roll with it right there. Yeah. That's one of the most insane, bold predictions I've ever heard in my life that a Super Bowl team will not reach the red zone. And again, I don't know if that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard or if I'm a little bit jealous about it. Nobody else is going to have that take. He's cornered the market on the hottest Super Bowl take you could possibly have.
He's done it.
That's his brilliance right there.
He's done it.
My goodness gracious. Okay, I want to play this little clip here because this was not a part of the intro presser with Jerry and company the other day, but this was a part of the walk-off. And this nine-second soundbite has taken off into the national stratosphere as Jerry Jones welcomed the national world into the world of the glory hole.
There's a very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory holes. Very low percentage.
So he's just trying to set the bar as low as possible.
Yeah.
Like, don't expect the smiles and the glory holes. Only one team actually gets to that.
You know, I think that's an honest moment from Jerry, because what he's telling you is, guys, this is really hard. You have to enjoy the ride. We can't get all worked up with another season of failure. Listen, it's hard. You know, 31 other teams aren't going to win the Super Bowl every year. So quit worrying about it so much. I think that's a genuine reflection of the way that he currently feels about it, because he's so satisfied from those three Super Bowls in the 90s.
And all the pundits nationally are trying to get to the bottom of this glory hole situation. Like, what the heck was he talking about there? They weren't privy to Jerry and his particular desire for the glory hole, and everybody's trying to figure out what exactly he means by it.
It was quite a scene.
It's pretty great.
Probably 12 or 13 years ago when he dropped that line on the local media, and those that knew the oil and gas business or had heard the term before were like, no, it's fine. Dalrymple's running around trying to tell the outsiders, it's an oil and gas term. We're fine here. It was hilarious when it first hit.
And it still is. I mean, it hits
some glory hole.
It hits it hits every single time. So thank you to Jerry for that one. Did you guys see there was an 18-year-old Eagles fan who was killed during the celebrations?
I did, you know. And
gymnast.
I guess that's the silver lining of not having a successful football team, is people aren't getting maimed or killed in the celebrations.
Do you guys know what it was? This was one of the telephone pole deals.
Was it a greased pole?
They aren't saying. For whatever reason, Philadelphia police
does not. They probably didn't think they would need to.
They won't say if they greased the poles on Sunday, adding that they don't want to release public safety tactics. Authorities are also still investigating numerous reports of other injuries from throughout the night on Sunday, including shootings, a stabbing, and assaults on police officers. That's what Eagles fans do when they're at the height of happiness.
Did you see the boy fall off the pole?
I didn't see the video. There's a video of it?
Yeah. And then they were like all laughing and everything.
They didn't think
it was so serious.
They didn't take it serious.
Yeah, it was like an 18-year-old student at Temple. And the crazy thing about this is he's an exercise and sports science major, and he was like a team gymnast with like 120 medals. So he's really good at it. Yeah. But apparently 18 feet up, he let go, landed flat on his back, and the neck snapped back, and he hit his head on the concrete, and that was it.
Oh.
Turned out the lights to fatality.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't see the video. Don't need to see the video on that. But just really bad. Something to be careful about. I mean, they have a stabbing, shootings. Eagles fans are just ridiculous, man. But you have to think that they didn't grease the poles. If you're able to get up there, I don't care what level of gymnast you are. When that pole's greased, you don't stand a chance, do you?
I think that's why Eagles fans decided to climb those poles after the conference championship. They were front-running the city planners, who no doubt are going to have those bad boys greased
for the Super Bowl.
By the time we get to Sunday morning of the Super Bowl,
this was their one chance.
You didn't like my take about the Cowboys front office keeping Cowboys fans alive year after year, though.
No, I love that. That's a brilliant. That's thinking outside the box right there, and that is one of the pros to not reaching the height of success in your sport.
I'm like Jerry, I'm an optimist. Eternal optimist.
Yes, dude. Yes, 2 + 2 = 5.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see the? They're calling it potential Doritos Super Bowl commercial.
Potential. So they don't want to say that this is the commercial, but this is the commercial.
It's a Doritos commercial that is patently insane. This dude is sitting in the barber's chair getting his hair cut, and his barber is snacking on some nacho cheese Doritos. Mm-hmm. And so he's got the Dorito dust, the incredible Dorito dust all over his fingers. And at one point, the barber's hand is right in front of the dude's face, and the dude just puts his mouth on the barber's finger, and the entire place just stops because he wanted to get a taste of the Dorito dust, the nacho cheese Dorito dust. Mm. And then the next scene, you just see him getting basically Uncle Phil'd out of the barber shop, but he's got the bag of Doritos in his hand, and he just seems like the happiest guy you've ever seen in your life.
All good. I got the Doritos.
It's a great commercial. I hope it's real for the Super Bowl, because it's being alleged to be, and that is that's the one seed right now coming out of the gates hot.
Pretty unbelievable right there, but you never know what you're going to see. I mean, they got to continue to raise the bar. here as they try to outdo one another for the craziest commercial. Well, thank you, Chief. Yes, Sports Hodgepodge there. Coming up at 6:20, we'll have a rim session talking Mavs here. It's a Mavs game night as they get set to take on the Pelicans. But up next, it's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 4:20. Buddy, what do we have?
Let's do it. The top 10 best quarterbacks to never win a Super Bowl. Who do you think
Dan Marino
is the best to not do it? That's next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 4:20. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here he is, Zach with an H, your Woolly Bully.
All right, we'll get to the top 10 best quarterbacks to not win a Super Bowl. 877-881-1053, fresh list, as you've got Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, who are having to play in the same conference as one, well, and Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. So are they going to get there? They're probably going to be on the list. Who else makes it? 877-881-1053. I did hear this on the Fox pregame show on Sunday, and I wanted to kick this around. This is Howie Long. Five NFL teams that would not trade their quarterback for Jaden Daniels. Do you agree with these five, or would you rather have Jaden Daniels at quarterback? Here's Howie.
I think there are five teams, if people around the league are being honest, that would not trade their quarterback right now for Jaden Daniels. Buffalo, Baltimore, Cincinnati, and the Chargers.
Buffalo, Baltimore, Cincinnati, and the Chargers. Of course, Kansas City, right? Like, already didn't even need to be named. But Lamar Jackson or Jaden Daniels, who would you take?
Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
Yeah.
Agreed all the way around?
Yeah, just throwing the ball, yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
Josh Allen?
Josh Allen or?
Jaden Daniels. It's all going to be or Jaden Daniels.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd go Josh Allen.
I'd still stick with Josh Allen, too. Yeah. Burrow or Joe.
But it's close. If the salaries are controlled, I got to pay Josh Allen a lot.
Throw the salaries out. Okay. We're not looking at that. Just quarterback. Well,
what about the age? What are we, 6 years younger with Jaden Daniels?
Yes.
So I get a lot more career with him.
Yeah.
That one's close. You know, I think Josh Allen's the better player right now. If I'm going into the Super Bowl tomorrow, I want Josh Allen. If I'm talking next year, I want Josh Allen. But looking at the next 8 years, I want Jaden.
Because it is fair to say, like, okay, we've seen this for a year with Jaden Daniels. I think he's going to be this good for a long time. But this time last year, everyone wanted to put C.J. Stroud in the top five. And he did take a step back.
Yeah.
So Jaden Daniels, could he have a similar sophomore slump? Very possible. All these guys that we're mentioning now are bona fide. The one that he mentioned with the Chargers and Justin Herbert, I don't understand. I don't understand the Justin Herbert stuff. Justin Herbert now has had plenty of opportunities. Maybe one day he breaks through. But I'm taking Jaden Daniels over Justin Herbert in a heartbeat, even if he has a sophomore slump.
Yeah, agreed. And I like Herbert. I think more weapons around him, I think will end up paying dividends. But yes, for Jaden Daniels right now, it is, I mean, you're talking about Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes and then maybe Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
I think outside of that, and maybe Lamar Jackson. But even then, I would still probably go Jaden Daniels there.
I'm with you. And congratulations to Jordan Lewis, who is now named the Cowboys' unsung hero of 2024. He had a ton of cornerback injuries, Diggs, Bland. Lewis stepped up, became the Cowboys' best defensive back this year. So NFL.com senior writer Kevin Patra took a look around the NFC and named Jordan Lewis that unsung hero. I think that's very well deserved. I mean, I was giving him your MVP award just for what he was able to be a steady cog. And we'll see. Does Jordan Lewis end up joining Dan Quinn in Washington? He was here with Matt Eberflus and Patrick Walker on DallasCowboys.com, visited with Jay Lou, and he had a lot of really good things to say about Flus. So maybe that's another reason why, all right, I'll come back. There's continuity.
They're going to sign likely one of the guys, and everybody else is going to get to walk.
So, I think if they're serious about winning next year, they need to bring both back, you know, Jordan Lewis and Osa. You know, because I don't think you can leave those up to trying to find their replacements in the draft. You know, so we'll see how serious they are. They're going to free up a significant amount of cap space once they restructure with Dak Prescott. Osa and Micah could basically take up 90% of that,
yeah.
You know, depending on how you structure those things. But you could be creative. And what they said earlier this week as far as how they're looking at the cap, how they're looking at free agency, if you want to give Brian Schottenheimer a real chance to win, I think it's got to start with bringing a couple of guys back, and those would be my two.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I mean, maybe Golston ends up being a cheaper option, and he's the guy that they consider, but I do think Osa would be priority number one for me, and then Jordan Lewis as well. All right, let's get into it. Top 10 quarterbacks to not win a Super Bowl, and this will be a list that has retired quarterbacks as well as current quarterbacks in the National Football League. 877-881-1053. And the 903 just answering the conversation we were having. Herbert and Daniels currently on the same tier behind Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow. And the 214 would also still take Lamar. 214, what about worst quarterbacks to win a Super Bowl? That might be a good idea for a list, 214. Maybe we'll circle that around next
Dilfer,
week.
Dilfer, Flacco, Foles.
Johnson.
Yeah, Brad Johnson.
Yeah, those definitely are ones that come to mind. Yeah, Foles, my gosh.
Peyton Manning in his second one.
Who was the backup quarterback for the Giants that won one?
Hostetler.
Yeah, Hostetler. Hostetler. Yeah, Greasy. That's a good one right there. All right, so here are honorable mentions. 682 said Dan Fouts is one, did not win a Super Bowl. Unitas from the 682?
That's false. He won in...
I felt like he won.
He beat the Cowboys in Super Bowl V.
Yeah, that's a champion.
Johnny, you had
actually, Earl Morrill started... I think Unitas started... I think Earl Morrill started the game, and Unitas came in and played.
But he technically won a Super Bowl.
He won a Super Bowl, yeah.
There you go. 682's going Marino, Fouts, Ryan, Rivers, Tarkenton. And all those guys are certainly going to be on the list. At least,
Jim
not
Kelly?
The top 10.
Rivers and Ryan? Romo is as good as those guys.
So...
Not even in the same stratosphere as one Daniel Marino.
Now, the honorable mentions, you've got Randall Cunningham.
Hmm.
And, I mean, that team in 98, they went 15-1. That might be the best team that never got to play in a Super Bowl. Hmm. That was unbelievable, that team that they had that year. Donovan McNabb is on here. I couldn't stand McNabb.
He's not in the top 50 best quarterbacks to never win a Super Bowl.
Carson Palmer. Honorable mention. He was promising. He was an elite passer.
Kept getting hurt.
You've got Ken Anderson. One of the most underrated quarterbacks in history. Four-time Pro Bowler, 1981 league MVP. Led the Bengals to a Super Bowl appearance. Rich Gannon.
Didn't he get it done with the Raiders?
No, they got smoked by the Bucks.
Just destroyed.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
I always remember him. He had those.
Hell of a run.
He had brown ear pads in his helmet.
He had
for whatever
a very
reason.
Unique look. He did. But, you know, there was
lucky ear pads. He'd had them since eighth grade.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it was. They were on his shut helmet.
Knee pads that he put on his ears.
Shut helmet.
The two-time first-team All-Pro did not play well in that Super Bowl. Matt Ryan comes in at 14. And he should have won one. I mean, kind of bleeped themselves there a little bit. Tony Romo, number 13 on the list. Best quarterbacks to not win a Super Bowl.
Pretty dang good.
Boomer Esiason comes in at 12. And he had a chance, man, 1988. I mean, you just lost to Joe Montana, the legendary touchdown drive with 3:34 left.
Montana threw a pick like at the 2-minute mark. They just didn't catch it.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
The interception thing, the undefeated thing, it was all there for the taking.
Top honorable mention, outside looking in, Jamarcus Russell. He was a great player. I'm just kidding. 469 Texas in Jamarcus Russell. I thought that was a really good fit. And I just wanted to see, were you guys listening? Were you listening?
I'm sorry. I was doing something else. You're absolutely right. He's one of the best ever.
Get over it. Steve McNair. Aaron McNair comes in at 11. Best quarterback not to win one. Goodness gracious. I'll never forget, like, DeMarco Farr during that America's game. He's like, as soon as Steve McNair threw the ball on that last play, I thought we had a chance, because if he takes off and runs around, like, we had no shot, because they're running for their life, that defensive line, like him, Kevin Carter. I mean, it was a who's who there, but gosh, Steve McNair and those Titans teams, rest in peace, fantastic.
Nope. Yeah, it's going to be hard to imagine there's actually 10 quarterbacks better than him.
Well, that's a good exercise. Okay, would you take McNair, or do you think any of these 10 are actually better? 10 is Warren Moon.
Warren Moon is outstanding.
100%.
Honestly, I was going to bring him up.
Moon is very underrated.
Very underrated.
9 is Phillip Rivers.
I want McNair over both of them so far.
It's kind of like Phillip Rivers on this list because of longevity.
Yeah, 15-year career, and they had a lot of really good teams that had a chance in the 2000s. And
20s. I mean, Charger going Charger is a lot of his work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just not clutch enough.
It was pretty badass. I mean, he played that championship. Had like an ACL. Still played in it. I think that was the game you saw, like, LaDainian Tomlinson just sitting on the sidelines with the helmet, visor, everything, just the jacket on. 8 is Joe Burrow.
Okay. He's going to, I don't know.
Injuries are becoming a pretty big factor
here. I kind of felt like he had a chance.
Man.
I don't know.
I think Burrow still got a chance. I mean, I thought he was going to do it this year, unfortunately, the team around him.
Bengals.
But, yeah, it's just I think he's too good not to get one eventually, but he's in the same conference with Mahomes, mm-hmm. although he's the only one that's been able to beat him. Mm-hmm. Seven is Dan Fouts. Six-time Pro Bowler, two-time first-team All-Pro, quarterback of some really good Chargers teams, led the Chargers to two AFC championship games, but never made a Super Bowl. Won the passing title 4 years in a row. Was that the Air Coryell offense?
Yeah, he had to play in it. Remember that game in Cincinnati they played where it was like 40 below zero?
Oh, my gosh.
That
team had
AFC,
no chance
AFC
that day.
Championship game, yeah.
Awful. It's just so weird because the interception rates were so high, the completion percentages were so low. Like, you have to project what he would look like with modern coaching and modern scheme. Because numbers-wise, it doesn't stack up.
Yeah, it is different. I mean, when you go through the eras like this, we got a text. Well, Kurt Warner won, 2-1-4. Kurt Warner won in his first ever Super Bowl with the Rams, then lost in the next two. We got Michael Vick texted in from the 254. I was hoping Vick would beat the Eagles so bad, and that was the 04 championship game. Yet there. Danny White texted in from the 214. I had somebody on Twitter say Don Meredith. Dandy Don, one of the best to not win one.
Mm-hmm.
Prime Cam Newton. The way Cam played in that Super Bowl, I can't really feel sorry for him. I don't think I could put him on this list, unfortunately for him.
He made a business decision in the Super Bowl.
He sure did, didn't he?
He's going back to selling the Wonka bars.
Like, oh, gosh. The Wonka bars. Six is Jim Kelly.
Yeah.
Yes, there's one. There's, I mean, that guy was incredible.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
If you would have put him on the Cowboys or the 49ers or any of those teams, they would have won big time.
Yeah. Three Bengals quarterbacks, you're right, 360. That just might be a cursed franchise along with the Bills. Hmm. Number five is Sonny Jurgensen. Played 9 years in the Super Bowl era, so he qualifies. Jurgensen was fantastic. Made five Pro Bowls, two first-team All-Pros, Hall of Fame selection, one of the very best quarterbacks of the merger era.
He had a chance, though. They got beat by the Dolphins 14-7 in a
Sonny
game.
Jurgensen didn't get it done.
Gary Premian with the...
I wonder how many quarterbacks are in the Hall of Fame that didn't win a Super Bowl.
Probably find that out for you pretty quick.
Yeah, we probably could.
Dan Marino.
Well, Sonny Jurgensen, I guess, would be one.
Yeah.
Jim Kelly, another one. This list probably has them all. Fouts. Is Fouts in the Hall?
I don't know if he is. 11 of them.
11. Yeah. Warren Moon would be another one. McNair.
Fouts, Tarkenton, Marino, Moon.
Jim Kelly.
James Kelly.
Yeah.
Pretty Sonny Jurgensen.
Yeah.
Where's Dak at? Where's Dak at on the list?
Dak wasn't in it.
No.
Lynn Dawson.
Dak didn't make the top 20. Wait, who do you think, like, would you, Dak or Romo?
Romo.
Romo.
Romo better than Dak?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like they kind of just damn near like.
A lot of similarities.
Yeah. Romo's a little bit more looser. You know, he was, what do they call that, a maverick out there?
Yeah.
Romo kind of a gunslinger.
Like, yeah.
He was a gunslinger for sure. Dak, not as much.
And Romo, he's safe.
Yeah, yeah. Romo probably more fun at times, like just the crazy wild way that he played. Dak's more like in control.
Yeah, pre-injury Dak, I think the decision-making, the ball security, and the ability to run it might make it pretty close, but I'd still take Tony. The ability to look out in that traffic and pick a guy out.
2014 Romo, yeah, like give me that guy. That guy had the makings of this dude can win a championship. Unfortunately, health didn't go his way. Four, Lamar Jackson.
Neither one of them great.
Three, Josh Allen, already on the list here. Both of these dudes, best quarterbacks not to win it. And I can't really fight Lamar, especially two-time MVP. If he gets a third MVP, like, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. You're not a three-time MVP and not get in the Hall of Fame, and he might not ever win one.
Yeah, I mean, but Josh Allen has been, I mean, if it's not for Mahomes, Allen has probably been to two Super Bowls.
Yeah, and that's why they got Allen at three.
Allen would be, for me, of the guys that I've gotten to really watch. Like,
he's the next best.
There's no question, man.
Fran Tarkenton at two.
Was Fran that guy?
He was a great, like, he's very similar to how quarterbacks play today, the ability to run, to move around, to scramble. He was like he was well over 2.5 seconds in the pocket every time he threw the ball. But he was able to avoid sacks and, you know, make great. He played on a really good Minnesota Viking team. And then not as so good of a New York Giant team.
The scrambler.
Yeah. Yep. And he led nearly every major passing record when he retired in 78. So yeah. You add the scrambling plus the dude clearly.
He'd launch it. He was one of those guys. Scramble, launch it.
Went to three Super Bowls. They just lost every one with the Vikings.
Played the Dolphins and the Steelers.
And the Steelers. That's tough. Yep. Number one, though, best quarterback to never win one, Dan Marino. 9 Pro Bowls.
He was
three-time
only in one of
first
them.
Team All-Pro. Won the MVP. But, yep. Lost to the San Francisco 49ers and never able to get back there.
Friend of the show, does great work. We've interviewed him a couple of times on Radio Row.
Okay, nice guy. Yeah. He does give off jerk vibes to me.
Well, he's got a little bit of mental health thing going on that he'll talk to you about where the anxiety gets the best of him and he kind of shuts down and people think he's a jerk, but he's got a heart of gold.
I'll never forget the commercial that he was. We have the sound of it where
they
keep screwing it up. No, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, he got really ticked off.
Yeah. There was no flub. There was no
what are you talking
flub.
About?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty hilarious.
Might have had the whole Finkel and Einhorn thing throwing him off there, too. That'd jam me up, to be honest with you.
Fair.
We got to talk hockey, though, and we're on Miro Haskinen News Watch. Probably not going to get it today. I think no news is good news at this point. Wolchuk, what do we have next?
Let's go ahead and get some quick puck. As always here, the Stars are looking like they're big-time contenders in the Western Conference. What is their greatest strength, but also what's their fatal flaw? That's next.
Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation 105.3 The Fan, LA Live, now under an hour away. It's every night at 5:40 here on The Fan. Let's get some hockey in here, Wolchuk.
Let's do it. Big win for your Dallas Stars last night. Come from behind fashion in Vegas. That's two wins now over the Vegas Golden Knights within the last week. And, hey, that's a great feeling.
That's over, man. Series over with them, right?
Yeah, we can't stand those Vegas Golden Knights, especially now. Now, I do want to... If we re-rack our brains to 2023 when Vegas beat Dallas in the Western Conference Final and you had the moment of the cross-check to the head of Mark Stone from Jamie Benn.
He dove on
And it
on
was
it.
A bad, dirty play.
He dove on
it. It was a five-minute major. He was ejected, and he was suspended then.
It was.
For the following game. And really, at that point, you realized, okay, the Stars are not going to win this series.
Yeah.
Well, last night, you have Mark Stone, who says he got tripped by Roope Hintz from his stick and then ends up obliterating the knee of Miro Haskinen. Now, we don't know yet the status of Miro. It did not look good. He had to get help down the tunnel. Mark Stone saying he was tripped. He was caught smirking on the bench after this play. I thought this was dirty. I thought it was 100% intentional. If you look at the slow-mo of this, yes, Hintz's stick does make contact with the skate of Mark Stone, but there is hesitation. It's not an immediate reaction, oh, now I'm falling to the ice. There looks like there's a readjustment by him and then a dive at the knee of Miro Haskinen. The problem with this is I believe this should have been a five-minute major. It wasn't. It was a two-minute minor, and former Stars play-by-play voice Ralph Strangis has an excellent piece out now on his Ralph Stag. And he talks about conversations that he's had with other GMs around the league. When they've reported incidents to the NHL about this, the NHL's response is like, okay, we can do that, but you want us to then go and look at all the plays that your players have made? So the NHL's kind of like, we don't care, dude. So even if the Stars are ticked off about this, the league's probably not going to do anything about that. And having read more into this, I don't think Mark Stone's going to get suspended. Which really ticks me off, because now the Stars might be down their best player for who knows how long, and Mark Stone gets away scot-free, mission accomplished.
Well, you know, is it a league that still polices itself? You know, I think you owe Mark Stone a little something, you know, and I would go, looking for the best and most talented fighters in the league this offseason and have a reunion with Mark Stone that he won't forget, at the earliest possible time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think there is enough in there that leaves doubt. You know, like, was he tripped into him, or did he get tripped and say, oh, you want to trip me? Well, watch this. You know, but no doubt if I'm Mark Stone, I feel terrible today because you might have significantly impacted a man's career with that.
Yeah, we gotta wait and see, I guess, what happens with Miro. Fingers crossed, man. I hope that's not an injury that is super serious to where he's missing an extended amount of time. But it did not look good. But it was
the knee's not supposed to bend that way.
No,
you're gonna need extra durable and flexible ligaments to survive that. But I mean, they haven't said ACL yet.
No.
So I think if it was, they wouldn't drag their feet on it too much. So I think tomorrow we get an update, like he's going to be week to week, and we'll see how the rehabilitation takes here. But we just want to get him healthy for the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed that he is. Absolutely. I saw one hockey goalie, you know, that does this hockey hospital, you know, doctor guy said he thinks it's likely an MCL injury for Miro.
Yeah, I saw that too. So fingers crossed. I don't know how you look at that and think, oh, yeah, this isn't that bad, because I don't think the knee should be able to bend to that degree.
Mm. All right. This one is interesting, the Utah Hockey Club. So they wanted to be the Utah Yetis. That was one of their names.
They were like, no.
The finalists. Yeah. Yeti, the cups, was like, this is trademarked, dude. You can't do this. So the trademark
whatever,
company,
dude. It's a mythical snowy animal. It's like the it's the Bigfoot of the tundra.
Yeah, Yeti coolers was ticked off.
Yetis claimed this?
They said you can't go ahead and do this. So they weren't able to go ahead and get the Utah Yeti trademark. The NHL got blocked from this.
That's weird.
So now,
yeah, you can't spell it different or something. Like, the Yetis were here before the cups.
Like add a T, or
it's like LeBron trying to get Taco Tuesday.
I don't know.
Yeah, dude, come on.
So now you've got fans in attendance at the Utah Hockey Club home games have the opportunity to vote on three names and logos. iPad stations are going to be placed throughout the arena for fans to get an exclusive look at the potential names, logos, and merchandise for submitting their votes.
Yeti McYeti face is winning, isn't it, Wolchuk?
These are the three. Do you like any of these? The Utah Mammoth?
Absolutely.
The Utah Hockey Club, they just stick with what they are right now, like the Washington Football Club, but they changed to the Commanders. Nah. Or the Utah Wasatch? W-A-S-A-T-H?
Wasatch? Huh,
never heard of that.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what a Wasatch is.
I think the Mammoths are pretty cool.
It's a mountain range.
It's a mountain range, yeah. Okay. The Wasatch Mountains, yeah.
I think
that's just weird.
The Mammoth is probably the best out of these three. But now that you can't do the Yeti, I thought the Utah Yeti sounded great.
Yeah, I would fight that in court. I'm going to take that all the way to the highest court in the land. That's right, Brian. We're going Supreme Court with this Yeti because it's that good with the alliteration, the yuz. But if I can't have that, I'm going Mammoth, especially because they're working on bringing the woolly mammoth back, you know, this fancy cloning. And
you got
to
make it
woolly. And the dodo bird, too. They're trying to bring the dodo bird back as well.
Right on.
I don't know what they're doing here. Mammoths and dodo birds.
I'm here for it, you know.
You know, cancer probably needs to be healed or whatnot. Yeah. Maybe bring some old folks back, one of our founding fathers or something. Let them see what's going on around
here. Get George Washington back in here with his wooden teeth.
You know, they're doing the Wasatch thing because they're thinking about the Colorado Rockies, you know, but that flows, that rolls off the tongue. There's something cool about that. The Wasatch just doesn't do it.
No, and enough people probably don't know what the hell that is.
The Utah Waz.
Utah Waz.
I don't even mind the hockey club, but I think they need to make it Utah Woolly Mammoths.
Not just Utah Mammoth.
Put the woolly in there.
Go
right?
Woolly Mammoth. I'm in on the Woolly Mammoth. Absolutely.
Would you call yourselves the Mams? What do you shorten
just
that
for
to?
Short.
Yeah.
The Woolies.
You got some nice Mams.
You got some Mams.
Yes, well, ma'am.
Just Mammoth.
There you go.
Stars' signature strengths and weaknesses, or fatal flaws, I should say, according to The Athletic. They are one of the teams that has the best chance to win the West. They're giving them just under an 8% chance to win Lord Stanley's Cup. Think that's a little low. I'm with you, 9-4. Let's go Utah Woolly Bullies. Their signature strength for the Stars, it's the forwards. It's Robo. It's Wyatt Johnston, fresh off his hattie, and overtime goal winner. Roope, Matt Duchene, Jamie Benn. Hopefully you get Sags back for the postseason. Mason Marchment, Logan Stankoven. It's not just that the Stars have a plethora of great forwards. It's also how well they fit together, which creates flexibility, mix and match the lines. They've got the speed, the skill, the snarl, and the size up front. I love that descriptor. The snarl, they do. Those Stars forwards have
They got
snarls.
Everything you need, you know, and I do think the snarl's part of it.
Like snarl's a big
I think that's
part
what old school guys, you know, your Mark Schlereths, your Michael Irvins, that's really what they're talking about.
And the slow start for Robo, he snapped out of that over the last 20 games. Robo, 10 goals, 26 points during that stretch. Wyatt Johnston, 22 points. He's been absolutely phenomenal, including last night. Matt Duchene has been dominant the entire season.
Yeah.
Fatal flaw, though, it's still all those defensemen. Lepushkin, Lundqvist, Dumba. Dumba's been a terrible addition, I'll say that. We kind of thought he would be. And Brendan Smith, woof, stars of three excellent D pairs. Miro, Thomas Harley, Esselin Dell. First two are being number one studs, but who are you able to pair that with? I still think that's something, you know, maybe you do end up getting, somebody from the AHL to step up, but this could be an area where Jim Nill's looking to try.
You
got to
be serious about making a trade right now.
I agree.
You know, they've needed defensemen for
they still do
a decade.
And hey, at least you got three guys that you can at least have one on the ice at all times that you feel good about. But the pairings, I think Labushkin's been solid for him. Like, he's okay, but they could still get better. Like Brendan Smith and Dumba Lundqvist, like, you can upgrade there. And I think that's something that Jim Nill has really been trying to do. It just hasn't really worked out.
He'll do it. He's the man.
He is the man. Finally here, we got a new restaurant opening in Preston Center here, Brian. And Tom Gilardi has been bringing one of Canada's best restaurants now called Kraft. Kraft Restaurant and Beer Market coming to Dallas. Thanks to Tom Gilardi. News was first reported by Culture Matt. Restaurant's going to open in 2026 right off Northwest Highway in Dallas's Preston Center.
That's right across the street from me.
Northwest Highway and Kate Street. That's exactly where it's going to be. Kraft is a casual dining and craft beer restaurant at this flagship U.S. location. It's going to feature over 100 tap beers, including local Texas brews, cocktails, wines, and dishes featuring steaks, Sammy's, pizzas, salads, and even, Eric, earmuffs. Vegan options.
Ooh. Look at that. Just in time for the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Canadian pizza. I wonder what that's like.
Canadian bacon.
Canadian bacon.
Ooh, no, thank you.
Maybe some maple syrup. They probably have a maple pizza. Might be pretty strong.
Moose. For the gods.
Elk.
Moose pizza?
Moose.
Have you eaten moose before?
No, but he's had some moose knuckles.
That's right. Thank you, Woolchuck.
My pleasure, man.
A little quick puck here for you on a Wednesday night in the G-Bag Nation. It's back to football, an edition of the finest coming up next, Chief. What's in store?
Yes, let's award our football hater of the week. Plus, Adam Schefter takes us inside the phone call he had with Jerry Jones announcing the shot he hired next in the nation.